Several years ago, God spoke to me and he said, I want you to do two things at the beginning of the year. I want you to look back and be thankful, and I want you to look forward and I want you to dream. And so I began to do that. And after I did it, I thought, hey, we need to do this in church. And so I went to the store and I picked up some 3x5 cards and I brought them to church. I honestly do not know when we started. I don't know what year it was. I wished anything that I had written it down, but we handed out those 3x5 cards and we wrote down what we were thankful for and we wrote down what we wanted God to do in our life the next year. Well, as time progressed, we don't do 3x5 cards anymore. We have them printed, and that's what we're going to do this morning after I bring you the word. We're going to give you an opportunity to write down what you're thankful for and then to write down what you want God to do in 2024. Then also on there is a verse for the year. Miss Vicky prays, I pray, Kurt prays, and we ask God to give us a verse, give us a theme, if you will, for the church and for the year. And so that verse is on there. And we're going to talk more about that promise next week. But this morning, we're going to take time to be thankful and we're going to take time to dream. I want to read to you this morning out of Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. This was our men's retreat the year 2021. This was our theme verse for our men's retreat, which we called Rooted. Listen to what it says. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. There's a lot in that verse, and I'm aware of that. And I'd just like to bring your attention to the last three words. And they are to overflow with thankfulness. If you consider yourself to be a follower of Jesus Christ, if you consider yourself to be a person that would say, I'm a Christian and I believe Jesus Christ is who he says he is, the Bible says that we are supposed to overflow with thankfulness. Now, a hallmark of a Christian is that you overflow. Now, when you hear the word Hallmark, you probably may think the Hallmark Channel, or you may think the Hallmark store in the mall, if it's still there. I don't know if it is or not. But let me tell you what Hallmark really means. It's an old English word, and what it means is when they would produce gold ingots or silver ingots, that they would put a stamp on it, and that stamp was called a Hallmark. And what it meant was is that it was genuine. Okay, it was genuine gold or genuine silver. Okay, the hallmark of a genuine Christian is that you overflow with thankfulness. Now, I know everybody in this room has had good times and bad times. Okay, this holiday season may have been really good for you. The holiday season may not have been that great. Maybe you had a great 2023. Maybe 2024 was a struggle for you. Wherever you are in that, God asks you and I to be thankful. So at the end of the service, you're going to have an opportunity to look back and to write down what you're thankful for. Now let's move forward and let's talk about dreams. God spoke to me and he said, I want you to look forward and I want you to dream. Now, you can call it dreams, you can call it goals, you can call it prayers. It doesn't matter what you call it. But I did some study on this, and I know some of you maybe are aware of this, but they found out that 80% of people have no dreams. Now, I'm not talking about dreams when you go to bed at night and you've had too much spaghetti. I don't mean those kind of dreams. I mean hopes and dreams for the future, a goal, a plan, something you want to happen in your life in 2024. I was shocked by that number. 80% of people have no dreams. Then they found out that about 15% of people do have plans, but they don't ever write them down. They just kind of come and they go, and they have some plans, but nothing happens with them. And here's what they found out in these studies. Most people just live in survival mode. Okay, most people live from week to week, from month to month. You know, Wednesday's hump day. Friday's your day off. And most people just live, and they live in survival mode. Another word for it is to be oppressed. Okay, to be oppressed. Let me give you a definition of the word oppressed. It means to be burdened, to be helpless, and to be distressed. Listen to me. God does not want you living distressed. God does not want you living oppressed. God wants to bring you from a place of oppression into a place of blessing. He wants to take you by the hand in 2024, and he wants to walk you out of distress. He wants to walk you out of hopelessness, and he wants to walk you into a place of blessing. Blessing means to be fortunate, to be favored, and to be content. Can I tell you something? One of the greatest blessings of God there is contentment. If you can walk in contentment in your daily life, even though maybe everything is not the way you want it to be, that's an incredible, incredible place to be. God wants to take you to that place. Okay, he doesn't want you oppressed. He doesn't want you living in survival mode. Then they found out that 5% of people have dreams, have goals, have plans, and they've taken the time to put them on paper. 5%. Less than 5% write them down and periodically review them. Less than 5%. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in survival mode. I don't want to be distressed. I don't want to be oppressed. When I look on the horizon, I want to be able to know that I've got some dreams. I've got some hopes. I've got some goals, whatever area of my life that it's in, then that God is going to help me walk through those things. Listen, you have a much greater chance of having the life you want if you write it down. Can I read it to you again? You have a much greater chance of having the life you want if you write it down. We're going to go to the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. It's a short book, and Habakkuk is a minor prophet, and that's really his name, Habakkuk. Aren't you glad your mama didn't name you Habakkuk? Amen. Listen, every one of you should have written on your card, the very first thing you should write down is that you're thankful your name's not Habakkuk. Amen. Amen. I mean, have you ever met somebody and they tell you their name and you think to yourself, why was your mama mad at you? Okay, I don't know why Habakkuk's mama was mad at him, but that's what she named him. Now, here's what's going on. Habakkuk is arguing with God. He's arguing. God is dealing with Israel because they won't be obedient. And Habakkuk does not like how God is doing it. And so he's griping and he's complaining to God. Have you ever done that? I've been guilty of that. You know, either God's not doing what you want, or he won't do it the way you want or in the time frame you want. Or maybe you have somebody in your life or you know somebody and you think, hey, Lord, I go to church on Sunday and I shine my shoes and I give in the offering. And then old so-and-so, they don't come to church. They don't give. They don't do nothing. And they've got a better car than I do. They got a better house than I do. Their yard's greener than my yard. Have you ever been there? Yeah, the Bible warns us not to do that, by the way. But that's what Habakkuk is doing. And God answers him. I've had that happen to me. I'll bellyache to God about something and he'll answer me. And he did with Habakkuk. And listen to what he told him in Habakkuk 2:2. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets or paper that he may run who reads it. Now, let me unpack that for you and I today. God's asking you to get some dreams. Do you know it's okay to dream? Listen to me. It's okay to desire a better life. Okay, I was doing these cards with Jeremy Sutton's church in Midland, Texas at Lifehouse Fellowship, and there was a young man doing his card, and he came up to me and he whispered in my ear, and he said, is it okay if I write down that I want a boat? Yeah, see, he thought that was too natural, right? You know, I need to be writing down something spiritual. I can't write down that I want a boat. And I said, of course it's okay. Listen, it's okay to dream. God said for you to dream, get a vision, and then make it plain and write it down so you can read it and run with it. What kind of vision do you have for your life? In your relationships, maybe your job, maybe you're a manager. And you think about your business, or you're a business owner, and you think about, hey, what's your vision for the year? What's your vision for your marriage or your kids? God said to get a vision, write it down, make it plain, and then read it and then run with it. Let me read to you this morning out of Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. Let me read you the first half again. Where there's no vision, the people perish. The word perish there means to throw off restraint or to get off course. See, God wants you to write down, hey, God, I need you to do this in my life. God wants you to write it down. Listen, if you don't know where you're going, you probably will end up somewhere else. Amen? Amen. If you don't know where you're going, how are you going to get there? It says that they would run wild or they would get off course. Listen, if you've got dreams, if you have things in your life that you want to happen, but you don't take time to write it down on paper, how do you know you're making progress? How do you know you're going to get there? How do you know that you don't get off course? Let me read to you in James 4:14. It says, wherefore you do not know what will happen tomorrow. That's true. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Now, we all know that what that verse is talking about is how short life on this earth really is. And it compares life to a vapor. You know, my dad passed away when he was 42. So when he was 21, he was half done. My brother passed away and he was just a few weeks away from being 60. And so he was half done at 30. Now, even if you live to be 80, and that's higher than the national average of lifespan, even if you live to be 80, you're half done at 40. Man, a lot of us in this room ran past that sign and didn't even see it, didn't we? I mean, yeah. It's like, man, you still think it's the second quarter and it's the fourth quarter, right? And we're almost in sudden death, amen? I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to think how far along I am. And of course, we know that he's talking about that life is short. But let me show you something also in there that the Lord showed me. That is one of my mother's favorite verses, was that verse right there. And she would quote that verse occasionally. She would mention that verse. And I don't know why it was one of her favorite verses, but somehow the Holy Spirit had her hang on to that verse. And she's been in heaven now for 13 years. Now, here's what I think is interesting. I'm in my 60s, and I still remember one of my mother's favorite verses. I also know one of my grandmother's favorite verses. I don't know one of my great-grandmother's favorite verses, but I heard stories from my mother and my grandmother about what kind of a godly woman that she was. You know, I grew up in a small house. My dad and my granddad built our home in Amarillo, and it was a 2-bedroom, 1-bath home, and it was about 900 square feet. And there was nowhere to go in that house, right? We had one television and one living room, and everybody sat in that living room in the evening, and we all watched TV together, and my dad was in charge. You know, I didn't get up and change the channel. Now, I was the channel changer. Okay, I was the remote, right? You know, Rusty, get up and change the channel. Now, it wasn't very hard because there was only 3 channels. But at nighttime, we'd be getting ready to go to bed. And here's how we went to bed as a family. When Dad decided it was bedtime, we all went to bed. All of us, together. Now, we didn't sleep in the same room. My brother and I slept in one room and my parents in one room. But we didn't stay up and watch TV while my parents went to bed. We all went to bed together. Then I can remember my dad would go into he and my mother's bedroom, which was right next to our bedroom. And their door was literally right by our door. And my dad would prop up his pillow. Then he would lay on the bed and he would get out his Bible. And for a few minutes, he would read his Bible. Now, I have that Bible in my office that was his. And it's one of my most valued possessions. Here's what I want to ask you this morning. When you think about your children and you think about your grandchildren, what do you want them to remember about you? What do you want them to remember? Will they be able to say, hey, this was grandma's favorite verse, or hey, this was mom's favorite verse, or hey, I saw my daddy reading the Bible? What do you want your kids to remember about you? You know, over the years, I've done so many funerals, and I've gone to the funeral home to meet with families, and they'll come in and they'll have a Bible with them, and they'll say, hey, this was mama's Bible, and they'll give it to me. And I mean, it's all tattered and dog-eared, and you can tell it's been used, and you flip through it and it's been marked on, and there's verses underlined, and they'll give it to me and say, hey, pick out some of mama's verses and read them. And it can be hard sometimes because there's such a volume of verses in the Bible that have been underlined. Then I'll have families that I'll meet with them and I'll say, hey, what was Mama's favorite Bible verse? Then they'll say, oh, Mama loved the whole Bible. Yeah, you can laugh. Go ahead. Amen. Yeah. Which means Mama didn't have a favorite verse. Right. Now, I'm not getting on to you this morning. I just want to encourage you as you think about your children and you think about your grandchildren and that they're going to grow up. And what do you want them to remember? Now, why am I talking about that? I thought we were talking about dreams, because dreams are like vapor. If you don't have them written down, it just fades with the wind. See that 15% of people that have plans but don't write it down? Well, their plans are vapor. And they think about it one day and the next day they don't. And they think about it the next week and the next week they don't. And those dreams just kind of vaporize and they disappear. Listen, something happens when you take your dreams and you put them on paper. Something happens. Now, it may be a dream, it may be a goal, it may be a prayer, but when you look forward into 2024 in your life, what do you want God to do in your life? What do you need God to do in your life? What do you desire in your life, in your family, with your kids, with your job? What would you like to see happen? Now, let me tell you two things about the cards, all right? Over the years, we've done this for years, and we have hundreds of testimonies. Miss Vicki and I could stand up here, both of us, and give testimonies of how we wrote things down and how God answered prayer and God came through. And Miss Vicki and I were talking about it even yesterday, about how, and I know y'all are just like we are, God's done so many miracles in our life, and it's so easy to forget. Isn't it? That's exactly what happened to the children of Israel. God would do a miracle, and what would they do? They'd forget. Okay, so when you write things down, it's easier, better, and to forget. You don't forget. All right, let me tell you two things about your card. Number one, it can be a confession. I've talked about this before. You know, when you're in the drive-in window at Sonic at happy hour, and it's going to be about 10 minutes through that line, I carry my card in the visor of my pickup, and I pull it down, and I read it. And I read it out loud to myself and to God. And when I read it, I tell God, thank you that you're doing this in my life. Thank you that you're doing that in my life. Whatever I have on my card. Then another thing you can do is you can pray it. Use it as a prayer. Hey, God, I thank you. I pray and thank you. You know, back when Ashley was trying to have a baby and there were struggles and hardship there, and we would write down that we wanted our daughter to have a baby, then I would read it out loud to myself, and I would thank God, and I would pray, and I would say, God, I thank you that you allow Ashley to conceive and you allow her to have a child, and now she has three babies. So God answered. God moved. So you can use it as a prayer and you can use it as a confession. Let me tell you one more thing. You're never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream. You're never too old. Listen, a bunch of my dreams have come true in my life. A bunch. A bunch. I could make a big old long list of all the things I wanted God to do in my life, and a lot of them have come to pass. Maybe that's for you, but I want to encourage you, you got to get some new dreams. Doesn't matter how old you are, God wants you to dream. All right, and I want you to do just what we said. I want you to write down what you're thankful for this last year. I want you to flip it over. But also, be sure and put your name on it. Be sure and put your name on it so you'll know it's yours. And then write down what you're thankful for, and then write down what you want God to do in your life.